Talk of a Greek debt default gets louder, and so do whispers of Greece leaving the Eurozone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Global stock markets are way down this morning because of new fears that Greece will default on its debt and threaten the stability of Europe. Bank stocks in Europe are tanking because of concerns that they are not prepared for a Greek default. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more now from the European desk in London.
Greece has been bailed out only so long as it makes deep cuts in public spending and hefty tax hikes. The government in Athens is failing to deliver, and the Germans, who foot much of the bill for the bailout, are losing patience. They threaten to cut off further aid for the Greeks. Senior politicians in Berlin, for the first time, talk openly about Greece defaulting and leaving the Eurozone. That, says analyst Daniel Gross, has got investors worried about other countries that use the euro.
What if financial markets think, if that can happen to Greece, next day it will happen to Portugal and then to Spain, Italy? Then, of course, all hell breaks loose.
He believes the crisis will come to an end when the Germans finally agree to bail out all the Eurozone's weaker economies. But they'll only do that when the euro is on the brink of collapse. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
President Obama officially sends his $450 billion jobs plan to Capitol Hill today, and he's going to be traveling around the country this week putting pressure on Congress to pass it. We're going to talk about the big picture now with a guy who won a Nobel Prize last year for research on the job market. Peter Diamond is an economist at MIT, and he's with us now from Lexington, Massachusetts. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, when you look at what we're in right now, do you have comfort in the fact that perhaps we've been in a situation like this before, or do you feel like this is so new it's very different than anything we've been in before?
It's certainly very different from what we've seen since World War II. This is different because we have had both the housing bubble and bursts, and we've had a banking crisis so that a lot of the banks are weak. These are phenomena that we have not seen on this scale since the 30s, and also we're now facing the question of whether the sovereign default risk from Europe will impact us both through exports going down and from some possible impacts on asset values for the financial system.
Well, you mentioned housing. I mean, can we get out of this, whatever it is that we're in, without fixing the housing market?
Eventually, yes, but it would be much better to do it more quickly. And the important thing to do it more quickly is to renegotiate a lot of mortgages. Let's start with small businesses. Where does a lot of the wealth of the kind of people who start small businesses lie? In their houses. So right now, with a house underwater, it's not going to grow out for a long time. And so the ability of small business to start up new things and expand is highly limited.
If people are listening to this interview, is there any reason that they should think that we are going to be okay, that we'll get out of this in the next couple of years and be fine?
I have no doubt sooner or later we'll get out of it. The real question is the distinction between sooner or later. What I worry about is whether Congress will, in a bipartisan way, take things that neither party necessarily favors so we get a good compromise and move forward, or whether we get more stalemate. Stalemate hurts the economy in multiple ways, that we don't get the legislation, and that people get increasingly concerned about a dysfunctional government.
Nobel Prize winning economist Peter Diamond from MIT, thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to have had the chance.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are sharply lower across Europe right now, down more than 2% in London and more than 4% in Paris. Here in the U.S., the CEO of Bank of America will speak to investors this morning as rumors of 40,000 job cuts continue to swirl around the bank. And we just got word that McGraw-Hill is splitting into two companies. One will focus on global markets, the other on education. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell 303 points, about 2.6%, to close at 10,992.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a raise-your-rate four-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. and by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Part of the job creation plan that President Obama is sending to Congress today is based on an innovative training program started 8 years ago in Georgia. It's called the Georgia Works Program, as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
The Georgia Works Program pays the unemployed a small stipend to train with potential employers. Former Georgia Labor Commissioner Michael Thurman started the program. He says most participants are able to land a job within 3 months.
It's obviously been proven to be an incentive for employees to go ahead and make the hiring decision.
But the program has had only a minuscule impact on Georgia's 10.1% unemployment rate. When the program proved too costly, stipends were lowered and training periods were shortened from 8 to 6 weeks. Fewer people signed up. But Thurman says there are other benefits.
About $17 million we project have been saved by employers who were able to train potential employees without making investments of salary and taxes and so forth.
The federal program would include minimum wage guarantees, making it even more costly to run and provoking Republican opposition in Congress. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, it is Monday, but according to a new survey, we should really call it Moan Day. Apparently, we spend, on average, 34 minutes complaining on Monday mornings compared with just 22 minutes on other days. The source of our Monday complaints typically revolve around how much work we have ahead of us in the week or how much we already miss the weekend. The survey, by the way, comes from the company Flomax Relief, and frankly, it is just too early in the week for me to explain what Flomax does, so you can take a break from your complaining and look it up yourself. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Multitask. Downtime. We use words like that all the time, but do we really know what they mean?
The word boss actually comes from Dutch plantations. A work boss was somebody who was in charge of the overseer of the slaves on the plantation.
That's us, I guess. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Wage Slaves Glossary. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.